Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
The One Fab Day Wedding Podcast.
Welcome back to the One Fab Day Wedding Podcast. We've got a really important episode lined up for you this week, if we do say so ourselves. Pretty much every couple we've encountered has experienced some kind of family conflict around their wedding. It could be a huge issue that threatens to destroy relationships, or something really small and solvable. But either way, it's far from ideal during the busy wedding planning period.
With this in mind, we wanted to pass on some useful tips and tricks for anticipating and avoiding family drama around wedding planning. We'll also be troubleshooting some of the most common family-related dilemmas, covering everything from feuding parents to interfering siblings and demanding cousins.
So this kind of leads on from our episode about bridal party related drama.
Yes, I think if you don't encounter one, you encounter the other.
Yeah, I feel I actually couldn't name a single person I know who's had a wedding who doesn't have a great dinner party anecdote.
Yeah.
About the family drama that revolved around it.
Yeah, and sometimes it's like a very low key frustration, but when it comes at a stressful time, or it goes on for a long time, so it might be just a comment someone keeps passing over months, it can really build up and things can bubble to the surface.
Yeah, yeah. And it's interesting because I've heard couples on both sides who have said, God, if I could do it all again, I would not let my family dictate my choices. And I've also heard couples say, God, I would have just given my mom what she wants to like shut her up, basically, as well. So we'll be trying to navigate all of that in this episode.
Yeah, I think this will be a helpful one for a lot of people.
One Fab Day Expert Wedding Tips.
Each week on the podcast, we endeavour to put our extensive wedding knowledge to good use by passing on some road-tested tips. Claire has come up with this week's nugget of wisdom, and it's one that I think lots of couples will benefit from.
Yes, so this week's tip is about photography. So if there are certain parts of your venue or maybe areas on the grounds or somewhere nearby your location that you love, make sure you tell your photographer. So obviously, all good photographers will get there early and do a bit of a scout, or they might be familiar with the venue and they'll know where to shoot. But so many couples choose a venue because of a certain thing or a certain picture they have in their mind. And then on the day, you're not going to be thinking about capturing that. So even say our venue, it was a big like fancy country house. We got loads of photos with that in the background, but that wasn't why we picked it at all. It had this gorgeous walled garden with a little farmyard in it that we never actually made it to on the day. And that was my favorite area of the venue. So just to kind of keep that in mind, on the day itself, I completely went out of my head and we were still really happy with the photos. But I also think it'll be really nice to have had a few shots there as well.
Yeah. And if you've had a chance to visit your venue, or you are in a position where you can maybe arrange a follow-up visit, it'd be good to do a little recce, because again, you're just kind of, you know, planning out your own time on the day better. And like if you said you never used, you like you haven't hung up any of the photos in front of the big country house or whatever, you know, that's only 5 minutes of the day that you spent doing that, but you could have spent it doing something that ended up being like the iconic photo from your wedding.
Yeah, exactly. So I think it's worth saying it to your photographer in advance so that they know on the day where you'd like to shoot and where you've not really got much interest in.
The One Fab Day Wedding Podcast.
Planning a wedding is bound to stir up a little bit of conflict, but in the words of the great Mary J. Blige, we are so tired of all this drama. Engagement is not a time to be stressing about your mom's relationship with her brother, catering for the whims of a cousin you haven't seen in 4 years, or worrying about what your granddad will make of your wedding band. And yet, these are the kind of issues we hear about every single day.
We'll never quite understand why engaged couples are expected to solve decades worth of family friction with a single party, or why weddings are so often confused with family reunions. The good news is that there are things you can do to help anticipate and maybe even avoid family-based conflict in the run-up to your wedding. So let's get into the tips. So our first tip on how to sort of set yourself up to avoid family drama in so far as is possible, mm-hmm. is about setting expectations, which we've talked about before in our episode on parents and weddings.
Yes, and it's always something we advise from the very, very outset of mm-hmm. getting engaged. It's one of the first things you need to do is just manage everybody else's initial excitement and thoughts about the wedding before people get carried away, before they start inviting themselves or their extended family yeah. and all their mates. So yeah, it helps to have a clear idea of what kind of wedding you want before you bring anyone else into it.
Yeah, and we're big, big fans of the vague one-liner.
Yes.
Which again, like, even if you haven't got a really solid plan for your wedding lined up, it never hurts to have one that you think will combat the issues that family might bring up. So if you're yeah. like, listen, whatever it is, the wedding is going to be really low-key and intimate. Mm. There's not that many situations that won't help. But you can come up with your own vague line, of course.
Yeah, even if you decide to have a 400-person yeah. wedding, that won't have hurt anyone's feelings.
Yeah.
Whereas if you go in thinking you're going to have a 300-person wedding, which you might do with the best of intentions, if when you price that up or when you start to plan that, it's not realistic, then you have to start rolling back, and that's when the issues arise.
Yeah, I think the vague one-liner, if you can downplay the size, scale, showiness and capacity of the wedding, that's probably a good way to do it, just because you're, even if you, as you said, decide to completely change your mind,
yeah,
that will help at the beginning.
Yeah, it's worth playing down any solid commitments that you know you won't be delivering or that you expect you might not. So religious ceremonies is a big one that causes a lot of issues. The amount of people you might invite, who exactly you might invite, where you're going to have it, if you're going to have it in the local town or if you're thinking about going further afield, just anything like that where you have a good idea the conflict will arise, it's best to nip that in the bud as soon as possible.
Yeah, I think you're better off bringing it up early if you know that this is going to be, if you feel in the pit of your stomach, oh god, how am I going to tell my mom or my dad X, Y, yeah. and Z, I do think you are better off bringing it up front.
Yes.
So our next tip is give information on a need-to-know basis. Mm. So what we mean here is, in general, and I have a few exceptions that we will go into, but in general, I think the less family members know about the wedding, sort of the more freedom you have to do what you want. And then on the day, they'll either not notice or not care.
Yeah, I think this applies if you're doing anything remotely, slightly left of tradition. So what you might think is not alternative at all, someone else might. So say you're having hoop bouquets instead of normal bouquets.
Standing speeches.
Yes.
Like these things that we see in weddings all the time.
Yeah. And if you're in the space where you're getting married, you've seen all the time, you've probably been to weddings that have them, but your extended family might not and might think it's weird or untraditional or, you know, the wrong way to do things, and you're just inviting their opinions into it if you tell them. So often it's better to just leave it out, and then again on the day they'll just go with it.
Yeah, yeah. People tend to be, your family will be so delighted on the day that everything's going well that they probably won't make a fuss about small details like, oh, you didn't have a cake, you had a cake table instead, or
yeah.
these kind of things. And the people who will make a big fuss on the day about what a terrible day it is, there's nothing you can do about that.
No.
Hopefully they're not coming to your wedding. You don't yeah. have family members like that. But you can't appease them anyway.
No. And any of the things I think of that did arrive, like did bring up questions about our wedding, like no one ever mentioned. Now, maybe people were still frustrated by them, but no one mentioned it to me.
It's always small things, like you have to have centerpieces. You can't just have, you know, a framed quote or something on the table.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
you know, again, just because centerpieces have been around for a long time doesn't mean you have to have them.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, this one is definitely goes out to anyone who's doing anything mildly differently. Obviously, you need to make sure that your guests have enough information to attend. You don't want to be so vague that they're have anxiety about the day itself,
yeah.
like what time is the ceremony starting, will we even get dinner. Like we've spoken a lot before about being great hosts, and part of that is putting everyone at ease. So we're not saying exclude all information, but just kind of keep it to things that are on need to know.
Yeah, the kind of things that you would be including, let's say, on the wedding invitation or the wedding website anyway. So like the timeline of the day, when, where it's on, anything that you any information you feel like any normal guest who isn't even related to you would need to attend and enjoy the day. Definitely those things are fine. We're talking about like all the fringe bits and the extras and the bonuses and the maybe surprise entertainment, etc., that you've got planned.
Yeah, and I know a lot of people worry about seeming precious, about not giving over too much information. But again, it's good to have a one-liner ready for this. So things like, oh yeah, we haven't decided on that yet, or oh, we're going to keep that as a surprise, is a handy way to not divulge too much information.
Yes. So the exceptions, I think, for this rule are, number one, if a family member is paying for a section of your wedding or all of your wedding, I kind of think it's unfair to exclude them from this stuff.
Yeah, if your parents are paying for the meal and you're serving lamb and you know they don't like lamb, I think you have to tell them.
It's a bit of a kick in the teeth, isn't it, to be honest? So I think if you are taking money for the wedding from people, and I don't mean like, let's say your grandmother really wants to gift you a bracelet or something. I mean like a big chunk of the wedding, of the hospitality costs. I think that's maybe an area where like this isn't really a fair rule to apply. And there are also some people who really respond better to more information, and you you'll know yourself if they're in your family circle. Some people feel more comfortable and actually are easier to manage and deal with if you take the time to talk them through every little detail. So if you have someone in the family like that, just bear in mind it actually might make an easier life for you.
Yeah.
If you do kind of sit down with them and go, oh, okay, and like, here's the menu, like you might want to see it or whatever. Some people do react better when they're given loads of information.
Yeah, I think that applies as well for people who think that you don't have everything at hand. A lot of, again, it's a more modern, because modern couples have a more laid back approach. Their weddings have a more laid back approach. Parents often feel like the whole wedding is just laid back and they haven't thought about the menu and they haven't thought about how they're going to get there and where the guests, how the guests are going to get home and all of that. So I think in those cases, it's good to show your preparation.
Yeah.
But again, you don't need to go into so much detail.
Yeah, for sure. So our next tip is to stand over your decision. So this can be really hard.
Yeah, but I think this is a really important one. If you're going to make decisions that might be controversial, you need to be able to back them up.
Yeah, so if you're planning a destination wedding and you think, you know, four of your relatives are going to have a real problem with that, you have to really love the idea and be able to almost sell the idea to them or defend the idea, which is awful, but this is the reality we're dealing with here.
Yeah, I mean, we could, like, this whole episode could be summed up in a like, who cares what people think? Move on. But the thing is, we all care what our families think and we all want everyone to be as excited about our weddings as we are. So part of that is, yeah, having to be able to sell your ideas. So don't be swayed if family members take issue. Like, stand by it. Have conviction in your decisions. It's a good idea as well. Again, we're big fans of the pre-prepared response.
Yeah, we're basically PR people. We're your personal wedding PR team and we have prepared a statement for you.
So yeah, have something prepared for any rude comments that you think might come up. Again, you'll have an idea because it's often the thing that you fear the most that people will say is perhaps what they might say, and particularly with people who are really close to you. Again, this is never a like far removed guest, because that doesn't matter to you. It's the fact that you had a fear about what people would think of your wedding and your mum said the exact thing that you were frightened of.
Yeah, and mums are great at that. My mum can reach into my brain and find the thing that I'm worried about that I've buried deep, deep down inside and pluck it out and be like, have you thought about this? And I'm like, how did you know? I've been obsessing about that quietly for weeks.
Yeah, so I think like something like, oh, we're really excited about the ceremony, if they're going to be like, oh, do you think that's a bit like, are people going to enjoy that? Will people be comfortable?
Yeah.
What about the chairs or whatever? And then kind of say like, oh, I think you'll be really excited about it when you experience it firsthand or something like that. Like, Or say like, oh, my friend Jenny did it and it was the most amazing thing and everyone raved about it for the day.
Yeah.
Something like that, that lets them see that you've seen it in a real world context and you know it's going to work.
Yeah, and you can even call in suppliers or the venue coordinator or something as well and say, listen, the venue coordinator says they do this all the time and we can't wait. And if you do talk about it in a positive light,
yeah,
then it's harder for people to crush your dreams. Not yes, impossible, but harder.
Yeah, and actually it's worth saying suppliers are really good for leaning on about these kind of things. One, like if in doubt, just pretend it's their decision or out of your control.
Yeah.
But likewise, if you're bringing your parents along, say to a venue visit, the parents are getting a lot of ragging. Anyone.
This yeah,
applies to siblings, aunts, uncles, whoever. If you're bringing someone along to your venue visit, you can always call your venue coordinator ahead of time and say, look, my mom's really funny about the layout of the venue. Can you try and like sell it to her or show her photos of how it's worked before? Likewise, a florist, a dressmaker, anything like that. A lot of times your parents or whoever it is mightn't trust you because they don't see you as
a wedding planner.
A wedding planner, you're just like their daughter. Whereas if the planner is like, oh, we do this all the time, it's very like a la mode right now, then yeah, they might go with it.
Yeah, and that's another thing you can say as well is that like, oh, well, we wanted X, Y and Z and then the florist told us like, oh, that won't work. You know,
yeah,
because often suppliers will tell you, honestly, I've done a million weddings and this isn't possible or this is just not what I would recommend. So if you can use an anecdote with your family yeah, members and be like, oh, no, she's really on top of it. This supplier will tell us if something won't work and she is confident that this will go ahead and it'd be amazing.
Yeah, I think for certain family members, it's worth investing time and getting them on board. Again, if you know that you've just got like a difficult granny, it's like
wasted time.
Do the need to know basis thing.
Yeah.
But if it's your sister and you have to let her know when the speeches are going to be. Because she's giving one and she's nervous about it. Then you might have to, yeah, sell it to her a bit.
And I think sometimes talking about the meaning behind the element of the wedding can help. Like we talked about this a little bit when we talk about ceremonies. Like sometimes if you explain like, oh, we really wanted this unconventional song to play as I walk up the aisle because it was actually playing during our first date. And I know it might seem a bit weird. It's not like a classical, you know, peace or whatever, but this means a lot to us.
Yeah.
Often relatives just need it framed for them.
Yeah.
And again, it's putting a bit of a PR spin on things.
So we kind of brushed off this a moment ago, but prioritize the family members who are most important to you.
Yeah, so there is a hierarchy, of course. And when we talk, as we will shortly, about things like compromising and when and where to make compromises, you really want to get clear who are the people in your life that you're related to and your partner as well, who are worth giving a lot of energy to in terms yeah, of the wedding. And this will be different. Every family is different. But for most people, it will be the parents or the people who raised you, siblings, maybe grandparents. When you get into aunts, cousins, that kind of thing, chances are you're going to have a little bit less thread to give them.
Yes. And I think it's worth taking a step back with in-laws. A lot of times people's back goes up when their mother-in-law says something, but not necessarily when their own mum says it. So it's worth being quite generous. And if you'll allow leniency in your family, make sure you do the same in your other halves, because that's another place where issues can arise.
Across families.
Yeah, because like the lead up to your wedding, it's too dramatic to say, it sets the tone for your marriage, but it can... I've heard it like countless times where friction that arose in the wedding kept going then
yeah,
for years later. And it is, it's particularly if you're not particularly close to your in-laws, this is a time to set a nice playing field and to get on and to be cooperative and to be flexible for them. So it's worth keeping them in mind as well and not just your own family.
Yeah, I think for a lot of couples, it's a safe thing to give the parents on both sides the top spot at the top
yeah,
of the hierarchy.
Yeah.
And obviously, if, you know, everyone is different, but I think that's the way to start it. The people
yeah,
who have basically done the most to get you to the point where you're at today, where you're in a position to get married and throw a lovely wedding,
yeah,
are probably the most important, as opposed to like that uncle you barely see's kid.
Yeah, and that doesn't mean appeasing your mum or your dad on absolutely everything, because a lot of a lot of the family drama arises from parents.
Yeah.
And likewise, a lot of the, like, you may have either a difficult parent or you may just, like, everything that you want to do just might not fall in line with their vision of the day.
Yeah.
But it, again, it's worth seeing where you can make compromises for that person if they will at all appreciate it. If they're the kind of person you won't even see that you've made a compromise, maybe you don't need to.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
if it's good to show that you're trying at least to meet them halfway.
Yeah. Which brings us on to our next point nicely, which is pick your battles. So, yes. Some couples will say they didn't compromise at all. Some will say they compromised too much. But whatever amount of compromise you're willing to do, think about, you have to prioritize those compromises and think about the ones that will make a huge impact on your day and the ones that, you know, a year on from your wedding, you won't even remember.
Yeah,
those details.
So, like, one that we were quite picky on was not having a lot of friends of our parents there. And on the day, I really liked that I was so comfortable because it was everyone that I knew. Like, there was no one there that I didn't know. But then now, like 5 years or 4 years on, if there had been a couple of friends of parents there, that wouldn't have been the end of the world. So it is worth kind of weighing it up in your mind and kind of trying to look at the day itself. How will you feel? How will it flow any differently? Will it have the same vibe? Will it feel like a compromise on the day? And then again, go a year ahead, 5 years ahead and see how you feel about it then.
Yeah, I've heard a lot of people say things like, oh, my single aunt wanted to bring a friend as a date and I didn't let her, and like it wouldn't have actually made that much difference to me. So in retrospect, I should have just let her. I've heard people say things like, oh, you know, my dad had this request and like now 5 years on, he minds my kids like 3 days a week. And I wish I had just given him something, you know, when I had the chance to give him something, and he's given me so much. But again, it is about figuring out what's doable. So like, let's say adding a few more places to the guest list might be doable, but inviting a family member that you despise and you can't stand to be in the same room with, that's not doable. So it's about deciding how, what you're comfortable with, really.
Yeah, so again, like, there might be fundamentals, like you are really not comfortable having a religious ceremony, but you're okay with maybe one of your parents leading a prayer at the dinner. Something like that. Again, that won't be one for everyone, but just looking at different ways where you're not giving up on the fundamental look, feel, ethos of your wedding, but you can make allowances that will make someone else feel included.
Yeah, another good example is the menu. If you feel pressured to put, like, you know, one or two crowd pleasers on there, that's not really going to affect your meal or your cool friends' meals. It's just going to make the older, maybe more conservative guests feel comfortable.
Yeah.
But if someone in your family has a real problem with you planning out a big food truck or barbecue style thing that you've long dreamed about, and you decide to compromise in that regard, you're changing your whole, the whole vibe of your wedding for them.
Yeah.
So it's about, yeah, figuring out which compromises really are going to allow you to stay true to the kind of day you want at the end.
Yeah, I think it's important to do your bit, but going beyond that is a stretch.
Yeah, I would say, like, doing your bit, I would classify that as ensuring that your family members have everything they need to feel comfortable and enjoy the day within reason. And anything else is a bonus. So yeah, like being able to dictate that there has to be beef on the menu, they don't really need that.
Yeah, they'll be perfectly fine to eat chicken.
They'll be fine with chicken. But let's say you had planned a menu that was just one dish and it was prawns and they can't stand seafood or shellfish.
Yeah.
Then, you know, that's a different thing. They're not going to be comfortable with that setup. So ask yourself that question. Like, will my mom, dad, sister, whatever, uncle, will they be able to still have a nice day? Or will this thing ruin the day for them?
Yeah. And I think it's worth just keeping in mind, as I mentioned before, like, is this family member taking advantage? Are they asking for too much? Are they demanding a lot? And then if that's the case, cut them off. You can only make so many allowances for someone. And then it's time to...
There's a quota to these things, these compromises.
Yeah. And then this one is easier said than done, but try not to be too sensitive about comments from family. Amid the stress of planning, it can be really hard to keep frustrations at bay. But And a wedding is deeply personal, particularly when you're right in the midst of it. But just try not to take everything personally. If someone says they don't like the colour blue and you've picked blue everything, it's not an attack on you. It's not even an attack on the colour blue. It's just their opinion.
Yeah.
And yeah, just try not to take it all to heart.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, I'm sure everyone listening has had comments that their family have made about their life choices that will stick in their mind forever as being like, why did she have to say that?
Yeah.
But, you know, just be prepared that they might be coming. And when they come, just try to laugh them off and try not to focus on them after the fact. Try not to do a big autopsy on the conversation you had at dinner with your partner afterwards when you're in the car, because you're just going to probably upset yourself more.
Yeah, you just have to shake these things off. Again, this one I think is quite significant when it comes to in-laws, because again, you don't want to, as you said, get into the car and start giving out to your other half about their family.
Yeah.
So it is important to just kind of shrug these things off.
Take a breath.
Yes.
Yeah. And move on.
Yes. Our next tip is one I'm very fond of. Embrace a little white lie.
Yeah, I am of the opinion that harmless lies are very useful when dealing with family members, especially around weddings.
Yes. So just make sure that you're not telling this white lie to the kind of person who will do their homework and ring up the caterer or call the venue or check with the boutique. So yeah, you know if you have one of those people in your life.
You do. Yeah, they can backfire, but really it's only with very specific personalities, shall we say, who are going to actually try, who are really stubborn and will try to prove you wrong and will say, well, I marched straight up to the florist and asked her and she said the peonies were available and that you just said you didn't want them. You know, we're talking about the more reasonable family members who just happen to be having a bit of a fret at the time. White lies are great for those.
Yeah. Saying nothing at all is...
I love. This is my favourite tip for everything in life. It's just keep... just
smile and nod.
Smile and nod. Go, oh, that's funny, isn't it? Yeah, it's great.
Because often not saying anything is sort of a lie, but it also isn't really. You can't be incriminated about it.
If you can just smile and laugh and go like, oh, gas, isn't it hilarious? Like, you can get away with so much. You can get out of awkward conversations if you just talk a bit of gibberish for 5 minutes.
Yeah, because then they'll feel awkward and they'll stop talking about it.
Exactly. And if they keep asking the same question over and over again and you keep saying like, oh, well, wouldn't you like to know? Haha. You know, you can get away with so much.
We have some of our favourite white lies that might be helpful for you throughout the course of your wedding planning.
Yes.
One I think I used a lot was, it wasn't that expensive. It was actually under budget, or it was only 500 quid for something that was probably 2 grand.
Yeah. Again, most people aren't going to actually be able to see into your bank account or your invoice with your supplier. So telling them it was cheaper than it was, not really that many repercussions coming from that.
No. Again, this applies to your family and not your partner. Honesty always in budget planning.
We're talking about the family members who have not contributed financially to your wedding here.
Yes.
I also love, I don't know, like the wedding coordinator is looking after that, or the wedding planner, or the florist, or the baker, or the band.
As we said, if in doubt, blame your suppliers or your venue.
Yeah, they'll be happy to take the fall.
Yeah. Likewise, you can blame your other half if they're not there, or a bridesmaid or groom's
member of the wedding party. Yeah. Oh, that's the best man's department. I don't know. You'd have to ask him when you know that they're not going to actually go and ask him.
Yeah, exactly. The venue isn't child friendly is one that we use a lot. Oh, I had to use the venue isn't pet friendly.
Okay.
It was the working farm.
Well, it wasn't. Legitimately wasn't pet friendly then. You can't be bringing a random, I assume, dog into a farm environment.
No.
No.
So, yeah.
Also, the venue has limited capacity. That goes a long way.
Yes. As long as they'll get there on the day and it's not a 50-person wedding in a 200-person venue.
But also, you can still play dumb after the fact and be like, they told us their capacity was 80.
Yeah, they moved the room. Or yeah, like, we were supposed to be in a different room.
I was so upset as well when I saw that there was enough room for that entire table for all of your cousins' kids.
Yeah.
That wasn't, you know, you can really get a lot of, you can really stretch these lies out, you know, until after the day.
Similarly, the boutique only allows one guest if you have a lot of people who want to come along to watch you try dresses on.
Yep. And there's a few ones that are just handy all-rounders, like, oh, we're still thinking about that one. I can't remember what we decided in the end, but it's all sorted now. And the classic, thanks for the advice, I'll think about it.
Yes, I've use that one a lot in all of the facets of my life.
Yeah, it's one to carry with you past the big day.
Yes.
Oh, great, thanks for that. Yeah, thanks. I'll keep that in mind. Yeah. Oh, look it up. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, do send me the link. Mute them on WhatsApp.
Yeah. And it's always good advice to accept what you can't change. Some people will just feed on the drama.
Yeah, yeah. And we always say if you know someone in your circle is particularly difficult, you have to have a little word with yourself before the wedding and just accept that you can't control their behavior, as upsetting as that might be on a day when you have controlled every detail.
Yeah.
You can't stop your uncle, you know, over like abusing the bar or whatever.
Yeah. And it's funny because sometimes it's the people you can anticipate that are going to like really act up ahead of your wedding. Mm. And other times it's someone that you're completely shocked by.
Yeah.
Like often you hear people who say like their mom was always so level headed and then all of a sudden the wedding came up and they were just so invested in it and took everything personally.
Yeah, or like the relationship dynamics change. Like it's always the dad and suddenly it's the mom. Or like your sister is usually really interfering and then suddenly her husband got really involved. And you're like, where did that come out of? So yeah, it's good to be prepared for the unexpected.
Yes. And then when in a lot of cases, it's communication issues. So do just remember that you can open up the channels with people and make a reasonable attempt to put their fears at ease. But again, you can only do so much.
You can't work miracles.
No.
And if people do act badly on the day or in the run up to the day, or they do end up stressing you out on the week of, all you can do is know that you've done your best. You've really tried to diffuse the drama. You've followed all of our tips as much as you could and ditch the guilt. Like, don't feel like if someone in your family, you know, behaves badly on the day or has a meltdown the night before, it's not your fault.
Yeah, no, definitely not. And of course, all of these tips are quite broad and general. But so much of what we get asked is oddly specific.
Yeah, we get asked questions that are, you know, 16 paragraphs long with details and background information on the relative in question, etc.
Yeah, like if you've listened to the podcast for a while, you'll know from our dilemmas that a lot of things get thrown up that are quite shocking. Like the one that always sticks out is the bride who wrote in about her granny who was like causing like putting people against each other in the family,
basically ringing
like
around
that.
Other family members to badmouth the wedding before it had happened.
So again, these tips will hopefully help in every situation, but we do have a few sample dilemmas and how to deal to go through that might hopefully help you pull some nuggets for your own situation.
Yes, so all of these we've definitely heard at least one real life instance of it.
Yeah, so the first one is you've got a really difficult relationship with a close family member, parent, sibling, grandparent, and you're not sure whether to invite them to your wedding. I think this must be the hardest one to have to deal with. A lot of people might have an estranged parent or a sibling they haven't talked to in a few years. And a wedding can be a really nice time to bring a family together, but it's also not your obligation to use your wedding to do that.
Yeah, I think it's really about putting yourself in the position of your wedding day and will you be comfortable? And, you know, you wouldn't spend like an enormous chunk of your life savings on a day that you knew you weren't going to enjoy.
Yeah.
So if that's what's at stake, I would say no.
Yeah.
Now there's always kind of get arounds, like let's say if you have a really bad relationship with a parent, but like it's been improving lately, but you just cannot predict their behavior. So you're not comfortable having them on the day. You could always try to arrange like a nice meal with them or a nice day with them where you can maybe have a bit more of a controlled conditions where like if something goes awry, you can get up and leave.
Yeah, I think like pre-wedding events, if you can do something 6 months out or something and have them along as a sort of a test run.
Yeah.
That's a nice way to do it. If they haven't bothered to come to that, then maybe you won't want to invite them along on the day. I think it does depend because often those kind of relationships might improve around a wedding. So then you feel like you can invite them. Again, this is another one of those things where like maybe look ahead in a year or two. And will you regret having not had them there? But yeah, it's all about thinking of how you'll feel on the day and how comfortable you'll be and how stressed and worried you'll be ahead of it. If it's going to ruin it for you, that you're going to be so nervous about them coming that you won't enjoy the lead up to it, then it's not worth it.
And if this person has really seriously let you down in the past, then maybe, you know, your relationship doesn't have to dramatically suffer because you didn't invite them to your wedding. You know, if someone really, really, really wants the relationship to work, then they should be willing to make the relationship work despite you not inviting them to the wedding.
Absolutely.
So keep that in mind.
Yeah. Another one that we get that's extremely common is that your parents don't get along. Or often it's a, if your parent wants to bring a new plus one, is another one that we get a lot. And again, I think a lot of times people feel like, oh, well, my mum won't be comfortable if my dad's there.
Mm.
And again, it's about thinking about how you'll feel. Obviously, it's really important that one parent is comfortable if they're the parent that you're closest to, perhaps. But it also has to be a decision that you won't regret for yourself.
Yeah, I think if you're having a bit of a larger wedding, this might be an easier one to deal with, in that you can bring both parents and they can maybe bring their partners, but they might have, in that scenario, like a couple of people around them that they're really comfortable with that they can kind of use to like diffuse any awkwardness on the day amongst themselves. It's probably much harder if you're having a really intimate wedding, like that's, you know, 20 or 40 or 60 people.
Yeah.
I can't imagine there's a great way to have two parents there that don't get along, that won't cause some kind of conflict.
Yeah, I think unless it makes someone really, really uncomfortable, I'd still have them both there. Ideally, give them each a table and a separate table. Mm. They can have their own relatives or friends or whoever they want at that table, and they won't need to cross paths. Think about the structure of your day so that there's no moments where it's awkward for either of them. And think about where they'll sit in the ceremony is another one that often doesn't get thought about. And issues could arise. And then I think have a candid chat with both your parents and say, look, it's really important to me that you're both here and that you both get on. How can we make it better? How can we make it work for you on the day so there's no issues?
It might be worth giving them a job as well, so they have something to focus on. So they're like, by the time it gets to 9 p.m, they're like, well, I haven't thought about Frank all day because I've been busy with this.
Yeah.
Or to assign someone in the wedding party the job of like making sure they're okay and maybe just making sure that they know, oh, you can sit here during the ceremony, etc.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I just think it takes a bit more management.
So one of the other dilemmas we have that's very common is that a relative who will be in attendance at your wedding has a problem with alcohol or drug abuse. This is a really, really difficult one. And to be honest, I err on the side of, if you feel like there's a large chance that they will do something that will really, really negatively affect the day for you and your guests, to not invite them.
Yeah.
It's a hard one. It's a hard call to make. And obviously you want to be supportive of them in the road to their recovery. But if they're not in that position, a wedding maybe isn't the right environment for them to be in anyway.
Yeah. Again, I think this is one where you can give people a bit more I think this is one where you shouldn't be afraid to talk to them specifically and explain that you don't know if they'll enjoy the day or you don't think that it's appropriate for them to come. And a lot of people will, depending on where they're at in their situation, they'll understand. And again, I think it's worth kind of treating people like adults and having a conversation with them about it.
Yeah, it really depends on where they are, I suppose. And they're like, if they're at the stage with their addiction where they're not able to really control themselves, or they're not able to, you know, kind of be selfless for a day, then there's not a lot you can do for them.
Yeah, I think it's worth as well, in these kind of very tricky situations, getting support from other members of your family. So having someone else in your family who knows the situation well to bounce ideas off, because obviously we could give you advice but we don't know the ins and outs. So it's worth bouncing ideas off other people in your family, not too many, just one or two, and having their support in whatever decision you make.
Yeah, that's a good point. Our next dilemma is, your family members are disappointed that you're not having a religious ceremony. Super common.
Yeah.
Again, we did say the earlier you can get in with this, probably the better, because otherwise you will dread seeing that family member every at every occasion for the next 18 months.
Yeah, again, it's one where if you explain that you've been to a wedding that's similar to the one you're going to have and how great it was and how, like, even the auntie who was really religious absolutely loved it, that might help. It's also worth telling your celebrant. When we had Emer Dillon, who's a humanist celebrant, in the studio, she told us that she asks the couples if there's anyone who they're worried about, and she makes sure that she includes them in like her opening remarks. So yeah, it's worth telling your celebrant as well, so they can be aware that they need to kind of bring more reluctant guests along with them.
Yeah, and you could even spread the word among like your close friends and wedding party, and they could, you know, make a point of being really positive about it. So like if you're on the hen and you're chatting to, and your friends are chatting to your mom or your sister or whoever, they can be like, oh God, and she was, you know, telling me about the humanist ceremony and I was at one. It was so amazing. You know, you can kind of recruit pals to kind of big up your more alternative ceremony to these relatives.
And again, this is one of those cases where you just need to own your decision and be really confident that on the other side of it, they'll totally get why you did it.
Yeah. So our next dilemma is actually another common one, and I've never understood it personally, but clearly I am just not dedicated enough to the world of weddings being my day. Your sister is upset because you decided to get married in the same year as her and her partner.
You wouldn't believe how often
it is so common, this one. And I always ask, like, do you think you get a year? You get a day. It's a day, maybe a weekend, maybe a week, but you don't get a year.
I've heard of full fallings out. I've heard of two cousins who were best friends and no longer speak because their wedding was in the same summer.
This is madness. Now, I will say sometimes there might be a logical reason behind it. Like, let's say if you have a family member who lives in Australia and you're getting married in Ireland.
Yeah.
Let's say there's three siblings. Two of you are getting married in Ireland, one in April, one in September. And the poor sibling in Australia can't afford to, or can't get the time off work to come home for both weddings or something. Sometimes the conflict, you know, there's an understandable element to it.
And it's worth having a conversation.
Yeah.
But I think, like, similarly, there's the one where, like, you have your wedding before someone else who was engaged first. Like, being engaged first doesn't mean that you get dibs on the first wedding date. Like, whoever books it, that's it. And when you book it, that's it. So, like, yeah, I think this is one where people just need to
get over themselves.
Yeah, but you can't say that to your sister. That's not going to diffuse anything.
No, sometimes I feel like these issues...
Send them to us.
Send them to us. We don't want them. sometimes I think these issues comes from the era of my parents, when, like, you got engaged and you were at the altar, like, 4 weeks later.
Yeah.
And it's just not even that it's ever been, like, bad etiquette, or that anyone has ever made a rule about this being unacceptable. It's just not what was done before. So I think if it's an older relative who comes from, or, like, a culture or a time when weddings were done very differently, you can just kind of explain to them, you know, why. Well, weddings are very complicated these days, and it's really hard to get a date on a Saturday in summer or whatever.
Yeah.
But if it's the person themselves who's getting married who has the issue with it, all you can do is say, like, look, are we really going to argue about this?
Yeah. Is this really worth falling out over? Again, the white lies might come in handy. Like, this was the only date we could get in the venue. We're thinking about starting a family next year. We're thinking about buying a house next year. Something like that, that implies you need to kind of move on for whatever reason. It's such a tricky one. And my main piece of advice would be, like, don't feed it. Like, don't
promise that don't say to your sister, well, if it really upsets you, we'll change the date. Like, don't get stuck in that trap.
And don't get annoyed back. Like, just be like, oh, I didn't think you'd be annoyed about this. It doesn't seem like something to be annoyed about.
Yeah. What's your concern? Like, what can I do to make things better? Yeah. As in, like, are you worried we'll have the same venue or the same band, or that, like, you will pick, or I won't be able to be your maid of honor, or, you know, like, try and tease out what the issue is. And often you'll find that she doesn't really have a great, she doesn't have great reasons. It's just a general sort of drama thing.
Yeah, like, I've heard of, like, best friends who've gotten married a week apart and things like that. Like, it totally
happens all the time.
And it's really fine.
Yeah.
And everyone will love both of your weddings, and it's really not a thing to be stressed about.
Yeah. So hopefully this problem isn't one that persists for too long, because I'm frankly shocked that we still get it in this day.
Yes. A next common one is your brother or whoever is really looking forward to giving a speech, but you're nervous about what they might say.
My like feeling on this, and you know this, Claire, is to kind of let them do it and just like go with it.
Yeah.
Because I think in a lot of cases, if you think, okay, he's going to have like offbeat humor that's a bit rude or inappropriate, or his speech is just going to be like straight up bad, I think that's not as big of a mood killer as you think it is.
No.
It's not as big of a deal in the scheme of a beautiful wedding day.
Yeah.
As you think.
If he's the kind of person who's like a bit of a messer, you being nervous about it will only like make it worse. Like it'll only spur him on. Whereas I think like maybe just be like, okay, we're keeping the speeches to 5 minutes each or something like that is kind of the only thing you can do to curtail someone like that. Without saying they're not giving a speech at all, which could cause a whole other set of issues.
And maybe ask one of the other speech givers to make a joke in their speech about like, oh, well, we all know we'll be here for 50 minutes with Connor, so I'll have to like wrestle the mic out of his hands or whatever. You know, like, you can ask another speech giver to kind of make a joke of the whole thing.
Yeah.
Or be aware of it, or do like a funny bit where they come up and like fake take the mic away, which signals to him like, no, you're really being too long.
Yeah.
My general feeling on this is there are very few speeches that are so horrendous that they ruin a day or even the part of the day. Like I have sat through so many bad, I'm not even going to use air quotes, bad speeches and they didn't ruin the day.
No.
They were just a bit of a lull, and you know, as long as they were kept under 20 minutes, which like most people luckily are not confident enough to speak for more than 20 minutes.
Yeah.
It's kind of a thing where like the next, you know, later in the evening, you might say like, well, the dad's speech was gas, wasn't it? But it's not going to be a huge regret for your whole life.
Yeah. The only exception to this, I think, is if there's one thing that you're really, really sensitive about. And again, this would be like, I don't know, like you and your other half broke up for a while or something like that, that you really, really don't want brought up.
Yeah, or like you were in couples counselling for like a serious issue. Like
something
that's just not okay to make light of.
I think, it's worth maybe bringing that up. But if it's just something you're a bit sensitive about, as in like, oh, I don't want him to comment on like the fact that, I don't know, I like used to play with whatever toy when I was a kid.
Yeah.
Like there's no point in, because like that'll just inspire him to definitely bring that up.
And if you're the kind of person who might give a speech yourself, you can use that as an opportunity to like take control of the situation and have prepared like a little gag about it.
Yeah.
So that you can respond to them or preempt that and kind of say something like, oh, I hope you're all ready for this speech. We're going to get like a big long read through of my primary school years or whatever. And you can kind of address it in your speech.
If you can always get someone else in the family to be like, oh, let me proofread your speech, and then they can give you the heads up if there's going to be anything that you might want to address.
And you can just put a sick burn at the start of your speech.
Take that, Connor.
It's always Connor, isn't it? Poor Connors around the world. So the next dilemma is your dad is being really negative about all of your plans. This is actually a common one where a couple will come to us with this problem. They won't even really be specific. They'll just be like, everything I'm saying, they're shooting down and nitpicking.
Yeah. And I think this goes back to the, maybe don't tell them anything anymore.
Yeah, I think so. I think that's the best approach. And if you've gone too far, like you've already given them loads of things, stop giving them information.
Yeah.
And again, you're just going to have to become like a tennis player and swat all of those comments away.
Yeah. I mean, your tip earlier about giving someone a job is a handy one, because then that's one thing they can't be negative about, because it's their responsibility. So if they're in charge of, I don't know, putting ribbons on the cars, anything. It gives them something else to focus on, so they won't be annoying you on the day.
Maybe it might give them a bit of perspective if they, you know, are the kind of person who will walk around a wedding reception venue going like, oh, I wouldn't have picked those flowers, or oh, that cake looks wrecked or whatever. If they have put loads of effort into something, they might suddenly get a eureka moment of, it wasn't nice when someone said that I'd done a crummy job of that.
All of these things actually take individually a lot of effort and planning and thought. Another one that is frighteningly common is your mum is fretting about every little detail of the wedding.
Yeah, this happens quite a lot, where one family member just seems to be just really anxious, really. Yeah. It's not even that they're trying to be negative.
No.
They just are genuinely letting small tiny details mount up.
Yeah, and this is often done with the absolute best of intentions. So I think if you're aware of that, it might make it slightly easier, even though it's still a very frustrating thing to deal with.
Yeah. Yeah, so this is really a personality thing. For some personalities, it makes more sense to give them more information, and for others, keeping information back will help.
Yeah, definitely. I think doing things like having the timeline of the day is really helpful for those people. Again, showing that you've already thought of things ahead of their worries is really helpful. I did a week of the wedding timeline I've talked about before and gave it to all of our family of where we would be every day before the wedding because we were living abroad. And then like the plan basically minute by minute of the morning. And that definitely helped anyone in our family who was a bit anxious about had we thought about things, had we considered. When they saw how organized we were about the whole week, they realized, oh, there's nothing they haven't thought about.
Yeah, that's a good idea, actually, to even give them like a prop that proves you're organized people. Yeah. That maybe doesn't even give them information about the wedding, or that like doesn't give them information that will feed their fretting.
Yeah.
But to just even like when they're at your house, be like, check out my spreadsheet and do a big scroll and be like, just to give them the message that we're very organized. We've got it. Like we're on top of this.
Yeah.
You don't need to worry about this.
Yeah.
I also find with this kind of issue, it does help me if I kind of brainstorm some of the things I think the family member will say that will put me off kilter and have responses ready. And I probably won't need the responses. They probably won't fret about the exact things that I've worried they'll fret about.
Mm.
But it just helps me feel prepared for any conversations if I'm like, oh yeah, the trains are running that day or whatever it
is. Yeah. The next one is your uncle is upset that all seven of his children and their partners and kids aren't invited. I encountered this one. And
I don't know. Does the uncle?
I mean, I didn't even get involved with it.
Yeah, does the like, uncle really
let them be upset?
That much? Are you going to really give an uncle that much time? It depends on how close you are to him and his position in the family and whether you're very close or whether you never see them. But it's the kind of thing where I feel like they're not, tend not to be at the top of the family hierarchy.
Yeah, like let that person moan about you and you don't ever need to know about it. Again, if it's the kind of thing like say your mum is feeding it back to you and you're getting irritated by it, nugget of advice that we give a lot is to kind of use other people that aren't being invited as examples. So all these other people didn't make the cut and that's why your kids aren't coming. So that it makes people feel a bit better. So like, you know, if three cousins aren't going on one side, well, 10 cousins aren't going on the other side. And that might help.
Yeah. The next dilemma. Your aunt insists on doing the flowers for your wedding, but you'd rather hire a professional.
This one gets my goat.
Yeah. So someone really, really wants to be involved and you're just not happy for them to be, and they don't have your same style, or you'd just rather hand it off to a professional, which is very understandable seeing as that's all we harp on about all day long is how you should hire professionals.
I think it's worth saying you want something kind of ambitious because that might help.
And I don't want to be stressing you out is a good way to put it.
It's already booked. It's already paid for is a helpful one.
Yeah.
So if they're like, if they say it really early on and you can be like, oh, well, actually, my mother-in-law is best friends with the florist and we've already booked her.
Yeah.
Something like that where it's, again, a little bit of the white lies. But yeah, kind of, again, nip it in the bud as quickly as possible.
Yeah. And depending on what it is, you might be able to do a compromise here where you say like, do you know what? We've booked everything, but I actually forgot about the flower girl's bouquet. So maybe you could do that. That would be amazing. And then give that aunt or whoever it is like a shout out in the speech or whatever to make her feel special. So she feels like you wanted her to be involved, but like it was just too big of a job for her rather than, you know, I think your taste is terrible, or, you know, you're incapable of this thing.
Yeah, definitely. Like things that won't be photographed can be handy. So like say the bouquets for the mum's Like, yeah, you could do something like that. If you, they offer to bake a cake and you don't want it to be the wedding cake, you can ask them to make cupcakes.
Yeah.
Or to prep something for the morning or the night before, the day too, something like that.
Yeah. Decor is really hard to do because if you give someone any permission at all, they might go into your venue and hang a bunch of like purple chiffon or something without your approval.
Yeah.
So that's a hard, that's one I'd say be very careful giving them any kind of job there, unless it's like, will you put out the place cards that are here in this box?
This can be really hard if it's the person's profession. We had a dilemma once where someone wrote in about their uncle who was a professional photographer. And again, I think it's just worth saying, we don't want you working on the day. And we've already got someone in mind.
We've booked it already because, you know what, we just want to just be able to relax and have a good day. And if you really want, bring your camera by all means, but you're off the clock.
Yeah. Again, blaming your partner is a handy one in this as well. Like, oh, they like really like this guy on Instagram for years, so we had to book them.
Oh, he's already booked it. Soz.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And obviously get them in on your...
Yeah. Oh, isn't he the worst booking things without me? Again, a white lie. But if it just ends a conversation right there, it's worth it. And your partner will hopefully not mind.
No, no one's going to believe a word out of us after this.
I know. Everyone's like, you're just lying constantly all the time. There's probably like two white lies that you need for your wedding.
Yeah.
But we're just giving you all of the
all
options.
All of them in one go.
Yeah.
Your single cousin has asked to bring a date. This is one where I would think about your cousin's experience of the day, as in, are all their siblings and all their cousins going to be there? Then they don't need a date.
Yeah,
if they're
absolutely
the only cousin you've asked, then yeah, maybe give them one.
Yeah, I think it's important to allow a date for someone. Let's say if it's a colleague who now lives abroad and she doesn't know anyone else at the wedding, for example.
Yeah.
Stuff like that, I think it's important. But yeah, as you say, if the person has loads of people they know at the wedding, I don't think it's ever inappropriate to just invite one person. As long as you're clear about it and there's no misunderstanding, I think that's perfectly okay.
And again, yeah, just say it to them, like give them, like treat them like an adult and say that's why.
The same if you want to invite like three colleagues from work or whatever who you're really good pals with in work, but you know, you don't, you've only known them for 2 years or something.
Yeah, you don't know their partners.
Yeah, I think that's completely fair.
You haven't invited some relatives whose wedding you attended. You attending a wedding does not sign you up to be obliged to have those people at your wedding.
No, I think that's a very modern rule that applies these days. And again, it might be older people or more traditionally minded people who think about tit for tat in terms of guest list. I think that's just one to be really strict on and just say, well, listen, this is the situation with the guest list. This is a capacity. Again, the venue have specified this capacity, so we don't have room.
Just because your cousin invited all their cousins doesn't mean you have to do the same.
And you can always kind of say, listen, their wedding was a very different vibe. You'll see on the day, our wedding is much more intimate and it's more about like spending time with close family members than being a big, huge hoolie.
Yeah. And again, we've mentioned this before in the guest list episode, but the afters is a handy one for that as well, if you're having them.
I think everyone in every country should adopt the afters as a thing at a wedding where you just invite people for drinks at like 9, 10 o'clock.
For the dancing.
It saves so much hassle over the guest list.
And it's really handy for family politics.
It is.
The next one is two feuding relatives are both refusing to attend the wedding if the other one is present. Sadly, we get this one a lot too.
Yeah, I think the only thing to do here is to be pretty diplomatic and say the same thing to both of them, which is, listen, I really want you both there. It's really saddens me that you feel like you can't attend with them present. Is there anything I can do to make you feel more comfortable about them attending? Start the conversation there.
Yeah, and say as well, if they're both being funny about whether or not they're going to come, you can be honest with both of them and say, I don't know if the other one's coming. And I think you being the bigger person will make them feel like small people.
Yeah.
And hopefully they'll grow up and be reasonable. That's all you can do. Again, it's not for you to be stitching up.
No. Age old conflict.
So, I think I understand that for some people it's really upsetting if their aunt or their granny or someone doesn't want to be there. But yeah, it's not for you to have to patch up. The one where this can be tricky is if a parent doesn't want, say, an aunt there. And then I think you kind of have to side with your parents.
You have to call in the hierarchy.
Yes.
Yeah. I think it's worth remembering in the case of this dilemma that you have invited the person and it's them that's choosing not to attend.
Yeah.
So you've done your best. And if you've had a chat with them to say, listen, is there anything I can do to make you more comfortable? Do you want to see the table plan? You'll be on the other side of the room to them. Do you want to know when things are timed so you can arrive a little bit later? Or is there anything I can do to help? If you've done that, you've done all you can do. And then you just have to go, well, whatever she or he decides now is it. I can't influence it any further.
Yeah, that's it. And the next one is, your wedding is a little bit alternative and your family members aren't getting on board.
So again, I love recruiting your pals, especially at like stag do's and hen nights, to like make a big fuss over how great it's going to be and how they've seen the thing already, or they've been at a wedding that happened exactly like that wedding and it was amazing.
Visual aids are very helpful here. So showing your family real weddings where these things have happened. A lot of times it's that someone can't picture it.
Yeah.
Say things like long tables, which are now extremely common. But I know we had issues where family members were like, are you not just going to have round tables? But showing photos of like, here's like 100 people who did long tables was really helpful. So yeah, in any of those cases, I think it's helpful to go to real weddings like those on our site or Pinterest or Instagram.
Yeah, definitely. I think showing them an example is a great tip.
Yep.
The next one, the final one is, your family members don't seem all that interested in your wedding.
Yeah, and this one comes up a lot, and I think it's often for a lot of different reasons, but it's generally like that person's stuff and nothing to do with your wedding.
Yeah, and often it comes up as well when your wedding isn't happening for ages.
Yeah.
And it's definitely the most important and time and energy sapping thing in your life right now. But to them, they're like, sure, I don't have to think about it or what I'm going to wear or what time I'm going to go or where I'm going to stay for 18 more months.
Yeah.
So try not to take it too personally if you have a long lead time and that's happening.
Yeah, definitely. And then there's also the school of parents and siblings who don't want to pressure you at all and don't want to feel like they're interfering. So they'll almost act aloof to counterbalance that.
Which, admittedly, that can be more annoying than someone who you're like, I know she interferes and I'm so used to her interfering that it's part of my life now.
Yeah.
Someone really trying to like give you too much space can actually be more frustrating.
Yeah. So I think it's worth taking a step back, seeing why they're being that way, and maybe if it's still like, say it's close to the wedding and they still don't seem too bothered, to find ways to include them or get them excited.
Open up the channels, kind of start chatting about an element of the wedding that you're excited about, see how they respond, see if there's any element of the day that they're interested in. Because, you know, we do hear sometimes like, oh, my dad isn't interested in anything. But like, if you start talking about the band, maybe he suddenly lights up and he's like, oh, God, yeah, that's amazing that you're having a brass section. Like, I love that kind of music or whatever. If you can find an area that, again, you shouldn't have to like manage their interest. But if you can find an area, you know, they're interested in, that will help.
Again, visual aids, showing them your mood board for your wedding or going on the band's website and showing some videos, things like that, that just help them like feel the day a bit more and get excited about it will help.
Definitely.
That's it.
So we've reached the end of our dilemmas. I hope they've been helpful.
Yeah, we've solved all diplomacy families around the world.
I definitely think we need to start up a wedding PR agency.
Yeah.
Or just even...
It'll be called Little White Lies.
It'll be called A Thousand Little White Lies to use in your wedding. We should just do a post on that, to be honest. It'd be very time consuming, but hugely helpful.
It's not child friendly.
So we hope that that's been useful, and we hope that your wedding is family drama free.
One Fab Day, listener dilemmas.
Here at the One Fab Day Wedding Podcast, we love nothing more than helping you find your way out of baffling wedding-related issues, be they guest list problems or budget woes. Selena, you've chosen this week's dilemma, am I right?
You are. So this reader has written in and said, my bridal party consists of my two sisters, my groom's sister, and two of my best friends, so five ladies in total. We all live in different cities, so I don't regularly see them all together, just one-on-one. They're all lovely and dear to me, but we have very different personalities, hobbies, life situations, etc. I'm a bit nervous for our bachelorette weekend, so I'm guessing this person is in the States, as I know that some girls aren't overly fond of each other. My thought was to go rent a cottage in the country for a weekend and tour some vineyards together. How do I get all the girls to get along with each other and have a good time? I'm nervous that it will be very awkward or that things may get catty. The wine may help, but it also may not. I'm hoping to avoid a bridesmaid's cookie situation. P.S. Loved your episode on the movies. I love this person, not just because she paid me a compliment, yeah, but because she's clearly given this a lot of thought.
Yeah. Also, another movie came to mind, you know, Wine Country, that also had Maya Rudolph in it and Amy Poehler. And I think this sounds like such a good idea for a bachelorette weekend. I think she should definitely go with it.
Yeah. I mean, first of all, I'm questioning why is she planning her own hen party?
Yeah.
But, you know, if it makes her feel more comfortable, absolutely go for it.
Yeah.
Again, I don't know if it's like a cultural thing, but I feel like in Ireland when people have a few wines in them is when they suddenly go, ah, she is the greatest person I've ever met.
Yeah. I think if she has one person who she can confide in, so say maybe like one of her sisters or one of her best friends, who she can say, look, I'm a bit nervous about you all getting together. Like, I really want everyone to get along. And then she's planted the seed and she doesn't need to worry about it anymore. And then it's up to them to make sure that they do get along. And they'll come up with ideas and maybe games or icebreakers or something like that. But yeah, it definitely shouldn't be for you to worry about.
No, and I think your bachelorette weekend is your weekend and everyone will get that and they will try to suppress whatever issues that come up.
Yeah.
Because they love you. And just think about it in those terms that, you know, the movie Bridesmaids is a Hollywood movie and the terrible things you're imagining in your head probably aren't going to happen. I do like your tip though, Claire, about having someone on kind of high alert who won't mind. Like, I'm always up for being the narc of anything. There's definitely one of the girls in your group who will be happy to do the same thing.
Yeah.
And who will offer to diffuse or distract when necessary.
Yeah, definitely. But yeah, please don't worry. It'll definitely be fun. And I honestly think they'll all toe the line and get involved.
I think wine is a great call.
Yeah, I want to go on this one.
We can't keep inviting ourselves. We're inviting ourselves to weddings and now to bachelorette weekends.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to one full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
We are gathered here in the sight of God in this casino to join
Homer
and
Marge
in holy matrimony. Beautiful.
Next!
Now step away from the spreadsheets.
We've reached the part of the show where we invite you to press pause in your wedding planning and treat yourself to a well-earned break. Claire, you've chosen an activity to recommend to our listeners this week. What have you got?
Yes. So my recommendation this week is Laura DeBarra's book, Gaff Goddess. And I've been glued to it since I got it. It came out a few weeks ago and it was a bestseller for the first few weeks it came out. And it's basically a book all about DIY. Now it's aimed for at women, but I think every household should own it, whether it's filled with males or females or mixed gendered.
I'm well aware of this book because you bought a copy and gave it to me.
Yes, I will be buying it for everyone who's a homeowner or a renter in my life.
Such is your passion for this book. And you gave it to me yesterday, so I haven't read it yet. But I opened I didn't do my homework. The first page I opened up was an amazing illustration of the, I don't even know what you call it,
the
fuse box in your house and what everything is. And I went, oh my God, I've been waiting for that illustration my whole life. I'd never know what 90% of those are.
Yeah, and I just love the tone she's used to write it. So it's really like kind of sassy and fun. But it doesn't talk down. It's not patronising to women, but it's written for women. So it's in a very clear, concise way. I actually think she delivers DIY advice in the way that we like to think we deliver wedding advice.
Yeah.
Whereas it's very much just real talk. So I think if you like how we've talked about all the stuff to do at weddings, I think you'll really enjoy it. And I just love that she goes through absolutely everything from like handy checklists of if you're renting and you move into a new place, talking to your landlord about different things, working out what you can do yourself and what you need a professional for. She goes through cleaning, DIY, toolkits. It's just so in depth. It's a real, like, absolutely everything you need manual, which I really like. I like when you have one book that covers absolutely everything.
Like a reference book. Yeah. I'm living for the chapter where she talks about how to use your like washing machine and fridge, how to efficiently use them. Because again, I just was leafing through those chapters yesterday and I was like, oh my God, I've gotten everything arseways. Like this exact thing that I've been doing that I thought was really like unenvironmentally friendly is exactly how she recommends to do it.
Yeah.
And she is an expert. Like this is a big part of her job.
Yeah.
Is looking after managing properties, so you're in safe hands.
Yeah, it's a really empowering read, which I absolutely love, and it would make you feel so much more confident in talking to a tradesperson, but also in doing certain things yourself. And a lot of it are those kind of old-fashioned things that maybe people used to be taught, but they're not anymore. So like, say the washing instructions on your clothes, or how to use a drill. Like, I just assume, oh, guys know how to use a drill, but like no one's ever taught them. And there's no reason why I shouldn't be able to use a drill. So yeah, it's just a very empowering read. So whether you rent or own, I would definitely encourage everyone to buy it.
The One Fab Day Wedding Podcast.
If you enjoyed today's episode, we're hoping that you'll do us a solid and review the podcast on iTunes. It's really easy. It takes 2 minutes, maybe even less, and it really helps other couples and your fellow wedding lovers find the show.
There's just one more episode left of the podcast until Celine and I sign off for maternity leave. But don't worry, onefabday.com isn't going anywhere. There's lots of incredibly helpful content already on the site, and the editorial team will be continuing to upload new planning, style and inspiration features every single day in our absence. So don't forget to pay us a visit.
The One Fab Day Wedding Podcast.